بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. One of our elders recommended a procedure for progress. Looking at the times, situations, people, circumstance, the lifestyle, in the last, say, 30, 40 years, there is a dramatic change. So what was unperceivable, say, some 40, 50 years ago, today it's become a reality. So now, looking at the circumstance, says, irrespective, but we still are Muslims, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, and we all long to go to Jannat. That's the two main things that play in the mind. That I must identify, must be faithful to my deen, and by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I must get to Jannat. So he recommended just two steps. Get these two steps right. Inshallah, you will understand the road and it will make things much easier for you. So the one thing that he recommended is get your food right. That is your income right. And the second thing that he recommended is get your namaz right. Namaz means everything that is connected to namaz. Be it the istinja, the wuzu, the ghusl, or thereafter coming to the masjid, behavior in the masjid, to the masjid, precincts of the masjid itself, the namaz, postures, and then these two things get right. Getting these two things right, inshallah, it will give you a lot of direction, a lot of understanding, and you will see progress. So the one thing he mentions is get the food right. It may seem to me a very, very simple thing, get the income right. Hazrat Saad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu is the respected uncle of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now, one thing we need to understand is no matter who you are, but the procedures will remain the same. That is what Allah Pak wants. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ. Istiqamat means remain steadfast. As Abu Bakr Siddiq had seen Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam aging, so he asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, I see you aging. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's answer was شَيَّبَتْنِي Hud. Surah Hud has made me old. So, some ulama, they understood it in this way, that because Surah Hud contains the stories of the Anbiya, approximately five Anbiya in succession, from Nuh alayhi salam to Hud to Salih to Lut and Ibrahim alayhi salam, five, and then ending up with Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. So, approximately six Anbiya stories are contained in Surah Hud, and how they accomplished their mission and what was the end of the opposition. How they accomplished their mission and what was the end of the enemies. But other ulama say, no, it wasn't this that aged Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then the question is, what did age him? When you like someone, then you don't want to see him aging. You don't even see going, right? So you don't even think of the question of death. You don't want to think about it. He's aging, he's with us. But reality is reality. What has to happen will happen. So nonetheless, now other ulama say, no, is this verse here. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ. Remain steadfast as you've been ordered. Now, a human being is an embodiment of a lot of contradictory forces, emotions, one end or the other end, to the good and to the bad. Sometimes the emotions are driving you mad, go for this haram pleasure. And then deen is telling you, no, don't ever think of going on that end. So you've got an emotion problem, right? Contradictions. Then you got approximately 5 departments on deen that you have to balance, you have to keep right. One is belief and all that's associated with belief. Then is ibadat and everything that relates. A simple translation for ibadat is the service to Allah Ta'ala. Then how do you serve Him? Right? Then the third department that you have in deen is akhlaqiyat, good character and mannerisms. Right. Number 4 is social ethics, and number 5 is dealings. Right. So now every Muslim has got responsibility. He is responsible for these two to get it right, to get it straight, steadfast. Those that slipped, then sometimes they slipped because of their dependence on a family lineage. Right. So they felt we come from this family and therefore we're thrown in. We don't have to worry about anything else. They say, halwai ki dukaan mein aur nana abba ka fatiha. What? Halwai ki dukaan mein aur nana abba ka fatiha. So nana died. So now I have to make fatiha 40 days. 40 days I must feed everybody. So to all those people, all my family, 200 people, took them to that halwa shop, mitai shop, right? Help yourselves. So they're helping themselves. But what's happening here? No, we can do fatiha. Oh, bhai, what about the money? Bhai, nana died and he's talking about money. So, halwai ki dukaan mein. So you're doing the fatiha, but at the expense of this mitai, man, you see. So some went off because of the dependence on lineage. Right. So you see, the one says, "Nahnu abna'ullahi wa ahibbahu." We the favorites. So nothing can happen to us. We, Allah Ta'ala so chosen, we the favorite of Allah Ta'ala. Why? Because we are the Bani Israel. We are hailing from the family of a Nabi. You know who is Israel? Israel is a Nabi, Yaqub al-Islam. It's an other name for Yaqub al-Islam. Is Israel. Like Hazrat Nabi Sassam, one name is Muhammad. And the other name is Ahmad. So Israel is another name for Yaqub al-Islam. So we are Bani Israel. Hailing from the family of a Nabi. So nothing can happen with us. Nothing can happen to us. So the whole dependence was on the lineage. So we coming from this. So that threw them off the course. So we got no obligations and you don't ask us to be committed to anything. And they took it, they stretched it so much that when the word of Allah Ta'ala is being recited to them, then they say, قُلُوبُنَا غُلْف. See, our hearts are protected. Nothing alien can come into our hearts. Because our hearts are preserved, protected from all sides. So the Quran, na'uzu billah, and everything else is alien, therefore it's not getting any room into our hearts. See. So this group, they went off because of their dependence on a lineage. And then when they went off so bad that they didn't hesitate. يُحَرِّفُونَ الْكَلِيمَ عَمَّ مَوَاضِعِ in distorting the word of Allah Ta'ala. Right? They didn't hesitate in assassinating Anbiya and Awliya. يَقْتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ. Approximately 33 Anbiya they killed in one day. And by the end of the day, there were ulama and righteous that came to the defense of the Anbiya, and they killed them off as well. So in one single day they push off about 100 some odd Anbiya and ulama. Just one day. They didn't hesitate in even slandering Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam. She's chaste, the Quran Sharif speaks about her chastity, but to hurl abuse, to insult, they had no reservations. So the root of the problem was the dependence they had on the dependence and the pride that they had being the lineage coming from this lineage. So that lineage, and we are immune, no punishment, nothing can happen to us. لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ. They say about the hereafter, لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارُ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ. See, the gunegar amongst us and the pious. Pious will go one way, straight to Jannat. Gunegar, few days, 1-2 days will stay and be thrown into Jannat. So we got ourselves all sorted out. And they would say, in the interest and the usury that they were practicing, they would say, لَيْسَ عَلَيْنَا فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ السَّبِيلِ. We can do anything, rob them, cheat them, because they are harbis, and they are harbis, so their maal is mubah. لَيْسَ عَلَيْنَا فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ السَّبِيلِ. We got no answerability on the non-Jews. No. So you see how their minds went. When they became overconfident in the lineage. Then you get another group who went off, and then you look at the catalyst, what was the base of them going off. The second group went off because of them attaching too much of love to the Anbiya, more than what they were required. So they were asked, you show love, but to a certain point. But don't go beyond the point. And they went beyond the point, and then they posted the Nabi to the point of divinity, made him God. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ ابْنُ مَرْيَمُ. لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ ثَالِثُ ثَلَاثًا. So you see, Allah Pak speaks about their disbelief. They are either posting him to divinity, he is God, or either he is the third person in divinity. So this group also went off, complete. And when they went off, they said, oh, we have got love, muhabbat. Right. And because of the muhabbat that we've got, everything else will be overlooked. And when everything else will be overlooked, so they went on a permissive note. Everything must be permissible. We got love, we got muhabbat. The main thing is muhabbat. We thrive on muhabbat and love, and because of our muhabbat, we'll be just thrown in. So, you see, now, the Quran is saying that وَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. Then steadfast as you've been commanded, not as how you think. So the steadfastness requires that you remain firm, but as you've been commanded. See? So there's a basic difference between man and other commodities, right? Like you see a pillar, right? It will remain as long as Allah Ta'ala wills, remain one posture for many years, right? By the grace of Allah Ta'ala. It doesn't have emotions, it doesn't have feelings, it doesn't have needs. So when it doesn't have emotions, no feelings, no needs, right, then nothing affects it. But you got emotions. If there's a death today, tomorrow there's a birth, right? If today there's prosperity, then tomorrow there's adversity. If today there's health, and tomorrow there is illness. If today is a birthday party, tomorrow is a niyaz party. So you have all these contradictions, and in all these contradictions, you have to remain and keep yourself absolutely فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ, like you've been commanded to remain absolutely straight. Don't waver this way, not that way. Belief. Then you come to dealings, right? So, in your dealings again, you remain absolutely firm, absolutely strong, straight. Not on this end, and not on that end. I just explained, this Buzurganuddin, what they say, that get these two things right, namaz and get your income right. So now income means dealings. So get your dealings right. Now there are two things that pushes a person in his dealings. Sometimes it is constraints. It constrains and it's going off. No, but more I just need a car. You know, today's life, you just need the car. But you need a car that is reliable. But the car that is reliable, at least starting off with about 250,000. So if I don't do this, some ulta sida, then how am I going to carry on if I don't do something? But the Quran is saying, remain absolutely straight. Don't go this way, don't go that way. Remain absolutely straight, straight, straight. Don't move. And it isn't that the person that was straight, then Allah Ta'ala ignored him. How we think, because of the circumstance, we have to just bend here and then on the other end, and things will work out. But Allah Pak, who is the master planner and creator, he said, but just remain. Any circumstance, just remain straight. The rest I will do, but you remain straight. We don't waver because of circumstance, situations, conditions, whatever has happened. I am the planner, I am the designer, I am the creator, you do as I command. The rest, you leave it to me, assign your affairs to me. I will work out a situation from any situation, in anything that you are, but I'll work it out. But you trust me and do as I command. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. See that? So whether it is your beliefs, whether it is your dealings, right? But you will remain absolutely straight. Well, Thanvi Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, when he must have been about 16, 17 or something, his father sent him to Deoband to study. So now in Deoband, he started reading the bigger kitabs, like Hidayah, etc. Now he came across the section of dealings. Now how important is dealings in the life of a Muslim? Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi is the teacher of Imam Shafi and the student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. You can imagine, on one side he is the teacher of Imam Shafi and then he is the student of Imam Abu Hanifa. Can you imagine his position? And the Hanafi mazhab depends largely on the statements made by Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayh. So, because he holds a very high and exclusive position, so someone suggested to him that you've got so many other kitabs that you have prepared, but you don't have a kitab prepared on Zuhud, what we may say, Tasawwuf and Sufism, right? So you haven't prepared a kitab on this topic. But you got, in every other subject, you have got a kitab that was prepared. Very authentic. When I say authentic, means like a precedent. If someone asks, alright, where did you get this kitab? Look at Imam Muhammad Rahmatullah's kitab, Absut and all that. And you will find these statements there. So everybody links up there. Because it's there with all the proofs and all the authenticity. So you link up there. So they asked him, but you know, you prepared kitabs on so many other departments. But this is also a department of life, the Sufism or righteousness, right? But you haven't got any kitab prepared on this subject. So his reply was, you see, I have prepared a kitab on dealings, mu'amalat, on dealings, right? And this dealings is so important in the life of a Muslim that if his dealings are not right, then he can't progress. He can't. He can't escalate. Why he can't escalate? Because he's dealing out right. Haram, halal, he's mixing things up, he's robbing, cheating, dishonesty. So he can't move. You know, we need to understand that it is not just our namaz and our some rituals that escalate us. See, the hadith is so clear. At-tajiru saduqul amin ma'an nabiyyina وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَىٰ. Businessmen, right? All of us, most of us Indians, we like to do business, right? But now, there is something for us as well. In spite of our crave or passion, impassions about business, right? But Allah Pak has kept a place for us as well, that you can also escalate. But how? صَدُوق الْأَمِينَ. Be truthful and be honest. Be truthful and be honest. So you're being truthful and you're being honest, and Allah Pak is escalating you to the ranks of the Anbiya and the Awliya, not just only people. When you see Siddiqeen, you are referring to Awliya. So you are honest and you are truthful in your business, and Allah Pak is pushing you to that position. So whether it's a small thing or it's a big business, but you are thinking to yourself, alright, if I'm going to be honest, I'm going to be truthful, then I'll be elevated to this position. And how can I compromise this? I don't want to compromise. I may lose the deal here, alright, one deal here, I may lose a deal in another place. But then I need to maintain that truthful relationship with Allah Ta'ala. I need to be very honest what I'm doing. Otherwise, I don't want to compromise that. See this truth and this. In the truth, one element is generally forgotten. And we talk of truth, honesty, and the opposite of it we say lies, deception. So it's not just the dealings being straight, but there is no deception. Now deception sometimes is, in business terms, we say fraud, right? He's guilty for fraud. But in the terminology of the Quran, even the deception of the eyes. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ Allah Ta'ala knows the deception of the eyes. You get a lot of businessmen coming in, and they complain. One standard complaint is, they know that you are going up, you are progressing, then everybody becomes your friend. You're progressing now. So girls also come, young girls, pretty girls, and they'll become your friends, right? And they won't hesitate in making forward advances. They'll say, and so beautiful, so glossy picture, you know, but when can we sit and have breakfast together? Now, they just start off in that way. One person tells me, he's very, very wealthy. Allah gave a lot of wealth. So, he says, Mawla, I had to go to Dubai to do some business, right? His business is like that. Big, very big business. But I just cut it off completely. So I like to know what was the reason that he cut it off when he's doing so much of business, such volumes, that he just cut it off complete. He says, no, because I'm doing that volume, so I need to move that circle, that class of people. Right? But when I'm in the hotel, I'm moving, you know, from one place to the other, in this type of crowd and environment, and the girl of your choice, and they are staring at you. They just want to start you off. And Omar, you know, I'm young, and I resisted too much. I was just there, you know, and something just pushed me, just pulled me. And I don't want to fall into this. I said, the money rather go, but I don't want to compromise this virtue. At-tajiru saduqul ameen ma'an nabiyyina wa siddiqina wa shuhada. A tradesman, the businessman, doing business, making money for himself. But he's not involved in any fraud, no deception, no dishonesty. He's absolutely true, clean, clear. So, this business of yours is making your jannat. You're making your jannat, you're making your money, and you're making your jannat. What about them? All it requires of you, show honesty, be truthful. Don't cross the lines, go straight, and see how you can elevate. So in this dealings also it requires, one is I showed you, right, that even the eyes, be honest, no deception. Similarly, people that you are dealing with, whether it's your supplier, whether it's your client, right, whether it's your worker, there's three people that you must come in contact with, the supplier, your client, or the worker, right. These are three people that it's inevitable you'll have to meet with them. So, in all this interaction, the underlining factor or the common denominator is that be considerate. Be considerate. Right? Now, you want to do the deal. You can see now, hey, this is a genuine client and he's always there. And, you know, there's a small hairline inconsistency. Let it go, man. You know, I'm going to allow this to go and I'll get a 1 mil. 2 mil I'll get. Just one small thing now, you know, Allah Pak also will overlook it. But now you need to understand, do you want that virtue? مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَىٰ Do you want to be classed amongst the Anbiya, amongst the Awliya, amongst the martyrs? youngsters are dying to go to Syria to become a martyr, right? And here Allah Pak is throwing this, is making it available for us. Consideration, respect, consideration. Even if he's a non-Muslim, but this consideration. How much Allah Pak appreciates. You know, the ex-mayor of what? Mapumulu, what? Mapumulu, yeah. And look, consideration, Allah Pak likes it so much. Mapumulu, the ex-mayor, that's not, I don't know how many days ago he died. Right? So one friend, so he had some contact with him, the ex-mayor, so he had some contact. Now, Allah Pak favored this youngster. See, youngsters also could do so much. They can do, and they can do so much. So Allah Pak favored this youngster. He didn't just keep it as a business contact. You know, like you keep a prominent person for some business favors. So he went beyond that line. So he kept a contact with this mayor, very influential for that whole area. And he heard that this mayor is in hospital. Right. So he went personally to go and visit him. Now the mayor is looking at him. They know on each other because of business or whatever. So the mayor is looking at him and say, but what brings you here? Black man, this is an Indian man, and this young Indian is coming to visit this old black. But what brings you here? So he says, you see, this is the teaching of our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's our teaching. I came only for this reason. I don't want any business from you. I don't want any recommendation from you. Nothing. You know, you go and see a person of that level for some recommendation, some business favor, right? That's what you need. So I didn't come for any business. I didn't come for any recommendation. Absolutely nothing. Just because our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has instructed that we visit the sick. If we're going to be of some service, and we'll be of some service. Then, obviously, we will show consideration according to the status of the person. One person comes from Aisha, and Hazrat Aisha gives the person something. Like I will give some bread, some curry, whatever else, or some fruit, and she gave this person, and he went away. And the next person comes in, and she, behind the screen, she got the dasturkhan laid out, and with honor and respect, she fed the person and let him off. So the ones that were around, they asked, but this person was treated differently, and this person was treated differently. Why? So Nabi Sallam instructed us, anzilun nasa manazilahum. Treat people according to their status. So now this person is holding a position. So we got nothing to do with a position. Because of the position, he expects to be respected in a different way. So we don't want the wealth, we don't want a recommendation, but purely because of the teaching of Nabi Sallam, Nabi Sallam was being attended by a Jewish youngster, right? So that youngster fell ill, and Nabi Sallam personally, being the Anbiya, Nabi of all the Anbiya, it didn't stop him from making ikram. See this business and dealings, how we deal, how do we work with people? How do we relate? Do we go to that extra mile? Do we show that love and respect? Nabi Sam personally, the Sayyidul Anbiya, the head of all the Anbiya, he goes and pays respect to this non-Muslim Jew. Right? Normally, we hold them in disgust. But it doesn't prevent Nabi Sam from visiting this person. So whilst there, and Nabi Sam invites him to Islam. You can see the youngster is receptive and he's in a good mood, except Islam. So, first Nabi Sallam asks him, do you find me mentioned and recorded in your scriptures? Nabi Sallam asked, do you find me mentioned in your scriptures? Because I suppose at that time the father was there and he was reading from his Torah. You know, someone is sick, we read Yasin. So he's caught the Torah open. And he's reciting. So Nabi Sallam asked, do you find me mentioned in your scriptures? So the father said, no. So this youngster says, my father is speaking a lie. Ya Rasulullah, we find you in the Torah. You find him means, you know, it's the description is so vivid, his graphic description, as though you are in the Torah. It's so vivid. You know, one is just, by the way, some of you have mentioned, we find you exactly in the Torah. The Nabi Sallam invites him to Islam. So he looks at the father again. Father says, he says, Ati' Abul Qasim. Listen to Nabi Sallam. Accepted Islam, and the Nabi Sallam left, said, Alhamdulillah, alladhi anqadhahu bi minan nar. Greeks, praise to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala made me a means to save this person from Jahannam. Now, if he dies, then you will give him an Islamic burial. Right. So this person is explaining to this black man, okay, this is the reason I came, come for no other reason. Anyway, shortly thereafter, he was being discharged. So he volunteered, the same youngster, he volunteered to get him picked up and take him home. They allowed him, the family allowed him. Right? He's got some love, some passion, he's passionate about it. Right? But his mind is something else. His mind he doesn't have any wrong, nothing wrong, nothing that is inconsistent. His mind is, you know, very often I think of my mother, Musalman teacher, man. He's such a good person, why he should not become Muslim? Allah must save him from Jahannam. Or she'll complain, you know. You know, he's such a good person, why doesn't he become a Muslim? Or this mama is such a good person, so good she is, why doesn't she become Muslim? Or the passion is that they must just be saved from Jahannam. That's the in the mind. So I have to tell him, no, you did what you were supposed to do, a big dua. Sometimes the woman, they can overdo it. Keep that. Right, that's the feeling. Right? The feeling, the burning. So anyway, now he went to the hospital and picked him up. So as he got him picked up, and en route, he saw someone that needed some attention. So he took permission from this mayor that this person needs some attention. He's standing on the road. His car got a problem. Can't I help him? You know, all means. So he had to take a U-turn to go and help the person. He had to take a U-turn to go and help the person. So the mayor, he went there, the man was helped, whichever way, he was alright, so he took permission and came back. So the mayor is saying, but what is this? He said, no, this is the teaching of our Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. By now, this was too much for this mayor. Too much for him. Too much, you know. Now, I think, I got the picture now. And now, he says, please, you convert me. He's almost crying. He said, convert me. Anyway, he did the shahadat, everything. Took him home, seated him down. Now, the man said, no, my shahadat must be in front of all my wives. He got three wives, all children, the whole kutum must be there. And in front of everybody, I will accept Islam. Alright. So the whole initiation was done. And then he says to his wives and his children, you see, if anything happens to me, this man will be in charge to do it according to Islam. Right. In the meanwhile, this youngster says, this mayor now, that, alright, now you are a Muslim. Right. Now what you do, you see, the most valuable moment in the night is tahajjud. So nothing stops you from asking Allah Ta'ala. He's got cancer, advanced degree, advanced. Untreatable. You can't reverse the thing. So they booked him for radium therapy and all that. Advance. So he said, nothing stops you. What you do is you get up for tahajjud. Now you're a Muslim, so I can identify with you. Get up at that time and beg Allah Ta'ala's help. Now, I'm talking of the mayor of Mapu what? Huh? Mapuluma. I can't get the whatever it is. Huh? Mapumulu, alright. So, he got up for tahajjud, as this youngster had advised him, he called him. Now the next day or so, he had to go for a checkup, because now they're booking him for a radium. Now they see absolutely no trace, absolutely clean. Oh, this man, he was really, really impressed. Hey, something else happened. They asked him, but what happened here? Nothing happened. I got up for tahajjud. I begged from the Creator. He explained to him, see, Jesus is a man like us, right? But we believe him, believe in him, and we honor him as a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, a great Nabi of Allah Ta'ala amongst the, in the galaxy of the Anbiya, he's rated very high. So we treat him and respect him as a Nabi. But obviously, he's a man, so he's got a limit. But the God that he worships, we worship him. So you want to ask, you ask him direct. Now, you got a worker in the shop, so you don't go to the worker, you go to the boss. You want some benefit, right? Some benefit or something you want. So you don't go to him. That he will just recommend. But if you go direct, so he went direct. Now with that yaqeen, right? Now everything's clear. Some, I don't know how many years later he remained all right. And then just about a day or so before he could pass away, so he fell sick again, dehydrated and all that. So they admitted him in hospital. So the same youngster then said, I want to see him again. Now he's totally in a state of unconsciousness. So he took one Hafiz Sahib, who knows Surah Yasin, go to his headset and read Surah Yasin. Now he's in a state of unconsciousness, doesn't know what's going on, absolutely. When they read the Surah Yasin, his eyes opened up and he held this person's hand tight. But I say, you know, there's a hadith which says, a man, right, he's worked and he's worked all his life going right to Jahannam. So between him and Jahannam is just one hand, a distance of one hand. That's the length between him and Jahannam. And فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْقَدْرِ. And taqdeer overtakes. And taqdeer overtakes, and man becomes a jannati. So now he's affirmed, he's announced, see, I'm going to be like this. And if anything happens to me, then this man will be in charge. Please don't disturb this. So they all, he took an undertaking on them. 1-2 years he lived, whatever it was. So this youngster, and he held his hand. Alright. And then the next night was a Thursday night. Thursday night after Isha or something, or Khuda ke pyare ho gaye. But now what we are striving for our whole lives, this man here got it. And his whole life in kufr, in disbelief. But he must have had something good in his heart. But it was also the ikram and the respect of the youngster that he's shown. And so see, no, I don't want any business favor. I don't want anything from you. Just that my passion is how to save you from Jahannam to lead you to Jannah. That's my passion. If I can get that, I've achieved everything. So that affected the man so much, he accepted. He's influential and affluent. So what turned the man? See the ikhlas. Anyway, man passed away, he got a Friday, obviously, after Thursday, Isha is already Friday. So now, because of his position and all that, so now how to do it? So the wives in the family, they all agreed that our father's wish was that he must be buried like this. So we'll have the ghusl done, this youngster will do all that, the kafan, everything. Alright, we've got a family grave, he'll be buried there. But everything according to Islam. But now you see that little bit of kram and consideration. We are starting off the business and consideration. But from where to where? This man has got consideration and love, respect for that person. And from where to where he brought the person? A little bit of love, respect, human respect and love. He must have had some spark of iman, but was not touched. This man found the opportunity and he touched it. He pressed the button at the right time. Allah blessed him. So you see, that business, this Allah wants, one is straight, right? One is being honest, one is being truthful. Whether the money is coming or not coming, I'm not concerned about it. Really, I want to be ranked up here. When I want to be ranked up, I'm not so worried about making the points. Yes, I need to get the points for Jannah. I need to get the points for my clearance. So, you've got honesty, you've got truth, but through that you've got a lot of consideration. It's your worker, alright, he did a little bit more work today. Or he's a good worker, right? Let me give him something more. He's supposed to be getting a packet of 7,000, say for example. So 7,000, never mind, let me give him 300 more. I can see it's winter now, bichara, his children may need some blankets, so let me throw him with some blankets, 2-3 blankets. So now I'm planning some consideration. Now, won't that person see Islam and see you from a different perspective? You just got a worker and a boss relationship. Did this, or do this, don't do this. Now, that's a different type of a relationship. And one is now you've been considerate, loving, considerate. As it is, you want to be spending money in just beautifying your house, right? In upgrading a lot of things right around. And the same money can be given to bring happiness and comfort to someone's heart. He couldn't sleep so well. Now you bought him some blanket, some winter warm, right? Some medication that he requires or he shouldn't require. You brought some value to that person's life. I ask you, you brought something to your home or whatever else. Do you bring any satisfaction to anybody? I don't say that what you did is haram. But any satisfaction, any fulfillment. Now that person is going to see your love. He's going to see your consideration. He's going to see the way that you have spoken to him. He's going to really touch his heart. And now this thing that you put up there, is he going to feel affected? Anything, any difference? Absolutely no difference. But this thing will definitely make a difference. He'll think about it. His family will think about it. The least that will happen in all this is people will begin to love Islam. They'll begin to respect Islam. What is just to keep talking about Syria, and what's happening in Kashmir, what's happening in Yemen, what's happening here, whatever else, right? But one is the little jihad that we can do in showing respect. That's also a jihad. I spent 5,000 years, 2,000 years, 1,000 years. So a little bit of consideration, a little bit more simpler food. It didn't change my lifestyle. Simpler food, everything happened. But I brought some meaning to someone's life, some love in someone's home, some comfort in someone's life I brought, some ease I brought. So you see this, how much Allah Pak likes, how much Allah Pak loves this. The very fact that this hadith comes repeated, you see it in the Jummas and all that. Man, sinner right through and through is a sinner, and he just did this one act, providing water for a thirsty dog, and he's earned his jannat. Now if you can do a little bit of act of consideration for an animal, and it elevates you, and Allah Pak recognizes it. Now for a human being, if you do some little bit work, some consideration, some love, some respect, some consideration, what it will do to you. I tell you, even if it is that worker says something insulting or abusive, you just overlooked and you carried on. What will happen to that person's heart? But I insulted him. I abused him. But he didn't take note of it and he continued with his kindness. He showed kindness, he showed respect, he showed love. Look at it, Look at Nabi Sallam, and that's what Mu'alimah Sahib Rahmatullah says, that for you to be straight, you must look at Seerat all the time. Apart from Tahajjud, look at Seerat, sincerity, Seerat, and Tahajjud, right? Three things he says. Now look at his Mubarak life. They're locked up in battle, right? Makkah and Medina is locked up in battle. They after Sahaba Ikram, they after Nabi Sallam, they tried everything to assassinate Nabi Sallam, right? And they confessed that we did this. But in the midst of the war, people of Makkah Mukarrama are going through a drought, famine. And Nabi Sallam is sending relief. Go. Go. Send relief. Who will do that today? Tell me. See, no. We on the, how we look in our little naive minds, see, I am the man of Allah Ta'ala. I am the wali of the time. And you see what happened to them? Yeah, they deserve it. Yeah, these people here, they offer their lives, right? Same people assassinated Hamza. Nabi Sallam was very affected. Same persons were responsible for her Zainab being miscarried. She miscarried because first child, and the child was miscarried. Now you can imagine what grief and pain caused Nabi Sallam. But the same people, he's seeing them, they are suffering famine, drought, etc. And from Medina Munawwara, he's sending special relief, as though an imdad is going that side. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the level of consideration, respect? So we are talking about Mawlana Thani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and he's come to Deoband to study, you see. And now in his studying, and now he's doing all the books of dealings, correct dealings, no fraud, no dishonesty. And the third thing I said, the very great thing is consideration. the creditor, you're giving him his money before the due date. He was supposed to be paid, say, at the end of the month, and you gave him at the beginning of the month. What happens to his heart? Doesn't he feel nice? Apart from you securing future business with the person, but doesn't he feel, this man is a man of respect. He's a man you can deal with, you can talk to. Doesn't he respect you? No, let me stretch him. I can roll his money, you know, and the last day I'll give him the money. You can do that also. You'll be right. If you give him before the last date, you'll be right. But you give him 4 weeks in advance, what happens to the person? Amen. This man is a man of respect. But why is he like this? Like, he becomes interested in you. What are you following? I'm following the Quran. I'm following the respected ways of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So doesn't he become interested in Islam? A little bit we can show through our business, right? Through whichever way. But we show it. We show that respect. We show that love. A taxi driver. See, business. Business. Went out in Jamaat. Corrected his life. Now, he's carrying the passenger from the airport to the town, to his house, right? Left him. Passenger is dropped off. Now he comes back. Now he's looking into the booth and he sees one suitcase. Alright, so now he needs to know, you know, I did so much of runs for the day, I don't know who the suitcase belongs to. So he opened it up and said, alright, that person there. But that big suitcase is loaded with dollar notes. Full, from the bottom to the top. Full, absolutely full. It's choked like that. Now, can you imagine how enticing? So he got the address from the bag suitcase and he went straight. That man was in a sakrat at that time because, hey, all my life earning, 50 years of earning, I brought home to enjoy. And that thing is wiped off in one journey that he went off. I forgot about that thing. This man had the decency to bring it to me, my door. She said, half is yours. No, I didn't do it for this. I did this act not to sell away my Jannah. If I take this amount, I don't need to work for the rest of my life. I'll be so well off, I don't need to work. But I didn't do this for this reason. I didn't want to sell my Jannah. Honesty, truth, truthfulness, honesty, fair play, consideration is the hallmark of a Muslim. I must do this. Man is a Hindu and his heart just turned. Hey, but what is Islam all about? Before he was averse, he disliked, hated. I said, but what is Islam? I need to come closer. I need to know what Islam. But you see, there's a little bit of interaction, consideration, respect, truth, honesty. But this is what we are missing. Yesterday, there was one guest that I received from Cape Town, Sheikh. So I know him from the 80s. Sheikh, Imam in his place, quite respected in the MJC and all that. But I like to meet, my tabiat is I like to meet people from different cultures and different backgrounds. So now there's a little bit of Malay, right? And unlike the Indian, will tell you something but very diplomatic, round. Sometimes you're missing the point. And they'll come straight to the point, they'll say, as it were, they will say it. They'll say, what do you think about Islam and what's going on? Because he's traveled quite a bit, Durban, Transvaal, Joburg, Cape Town, the world also he's traveled. So he's quite aware of what's going on. So he told me something that really struck me. I said, I really appreciate, although I'm hurt, but I really appreciate what you said. So what did I say? He said, see, what you said? That there are so many people that are being turned out of madrasas with certificates, right? So they're getting the certificates and they're coming out, but that spirit and that essence of Islam is no longer there. That was his words. There's no spirituality, there's no essence, there's no spirit in them. So they got the certificate, they're coming out, but the mind is the spirit. See, I'm here in Cape Town for 60 some odd years, right? But I don't see that. I don't see the spirituality, I don't see that spirit, I don't see that essence of Islam, I don't see it. So everybody after this, they want to see that. The theory, they got also access to Google and books and all that. They got all that access. But what the world wants to see is the spirit. They want to see that essence. The man, he told me, in one word he told me, he said, no, Sheikh, I really appreciate. I think if I gave you 1.5 hours today, it's really worth my time. The sentence that you made, that one statement that you made. I guess, they'll come and they'll tell you straight, as it were. They won't go round and round. tell you straight. So that means what's needed most today is this spirituality. Spirituality, this essence, the spirit of Islam. What we say, taqwa, consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, that awareness of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Pak is watching. Any given moment, Allah Pak is before me. I don't say you maintain it to the highest level at every moment, but after your namaz and all that, namaz at a higher level, but afterwards, on a cursory level. Why at a cursory level? Because then you won't be able to live. I ask you a simple thing like this, right? If you are in the midst of your friends and you want to break wind, can you break wind? Why? The consciousness, the awareness of your friend. Right? Now, if you have the consciousness of Allah at a very high level, can you do these things? So, in namaz and your acts of ibadat at a very high level. But afterwards, you have that consciousness, but at a moderate level, so you can do other things as well. Otherwise, you can't even joke with your wife and stuff. You won't be able to do these type of things. So you have the consciousness, but you don't have to have it at all time at a very high level. So we're talking of Al-Mawad Tanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi, and he's studying out here in Dioman. So now, he's reading the kitabs on buyu, business and transactions, etc. See, we're talking of a Muslim, and how a Muslim, what's the spirit like? What he's supposed to be like? And if we are like that, I tell you, that every non-Muslim will be forced to respect you. Either he accepts Islam, or he will respect you. But are we portraying the right type of Islam? The first Jamaat that went to Paris, right? Now, I don't know, a couple of thousand masjids there. The first Jamaat, so I was with them. And the man that went first, right, so he's giving his own encounter. So he's a professor in Aligarh University, some Farooqi, right? So he was here. So I spent a few days. I think the maximum I spent in Jamaat about 10 days in my life. Allah will make me maaf, right? So I spent some time with him. So I just asked him, alright, when you went first in Jamaat and all that, and which countries you went. So he gave me some of his cargoes. He said, we were the first Jamaat that went to Paris. He said, then how did you work? How did you start the work there? He says, now, when I went there, we were very worried. Hazrat had sent us, rahmatullahi, and we have to go and conquer this place, get Islam flowing here. How do we get it done? So, he just related two stories. One story says then, you know, Hazrat wants this to happen. Our elder, now we have to respect him. He's the boss, he's our buzurg. So if he wants this, we must do it. It must happen. Now you see the respect they had, the consciousness, the respect, the type of attachment and commitment they give to the elder. He wants it, we must do it, make it happen. I don't want to make excuse, no, Azadji, how can we do it? It's a kafir country, they go to kapra ka tikana, no kapra they're wearing, three quarter naked they are. So I don't want to make excuse, I want it to happen. So I'm thinking, that it forced me to make dua. Tahajjud time for 3 hours I'm making dua, crying to Allah Ta'ala. And then in my dua, it just came, just struck me to make this dua. Allah Ta'ala, you know, in every area, irrespective, every country, you have appointed some buzurg, like you have to say Kutub or something, Abdal. So I will meet up with this person here and jointly make a dua. It will happen because the Abdal will make dua and he'll make the effort. So when there's an effort and there's dua, then things will work. There's some tears and there's work as well. So in my dream, 3 hours I'm sitting in Tahajjud making dua. Already once this to happen, it must happen. So in my dream, Allah showed me, alright, this is the Jama Masjid in Paris, and at a certain point you'll find the person. So as I was directed, I sat against that pillar, I saw the person. Who else? Seen the dream of the person. So I told him, you know, this is the plight Hazrat sent us with this mission here. But he says, no effort, there's no work here, how can it happen? So alright, now, we're starting the effort, you made a dua. And then things just struck. We just struck the chord, and things just began to flow like that. So this was the first thing that happened. And then I was in khidmat. For 1 week I was in khidmat, I had to do all the shopping. So as I went into the mall to do the business, to do the shopping, so that cashier was a young girl. I was insisting on her to leave the money down, right? and not give it in my hand. And she was trying to some trick to get off my hand. But I forced myself, I won't touch your head. So somehow she got a plate, it was like a mirror, that I must see her face. That also, I just closed my eyes. Then she got interested in Islam. This man don't want to look at my face, he don't want to touch my hand. And I know these are all sensitive places, right? The face and the hand are very sensitive. From there everything strikes from there. So she got interested in Islam. See, you see how this Islam moves. These two things are two great obstructions. Woman and wealth. You got these two things right, then your road, your passages are all moving, all opened out. But if in these two things you can't control yourself, then people are watching also, they're observing what's the difference between him and us. He's involved in all type of fraud and haram and everything else, and women and all that. So we're also involved. It's just a few rituals that separates us. Otherwise, both of us are identical. So this is how he's watching. But if you're showing some extra commitment, some level of dignity, respect, refinement, they're watching. Don't think that they're not watching. I was explaining to Ustaz today that we think that our children don't observe. We think. So one of the young married ulama, so he was, says, my family is in the way, you know, family way. Urdu we say ummeed hai, ummeed hai, and we say family way, right? So what must do now? She's already about 3-4 months. So I said, all right, see, when you read in Quran Sharif, read very sweetly in the presence of your wife, because she is carrying your child. So sweet, and the zikr also you're doing, but sweetly, do it nicely, sweetly. So that first child, everybody is over enthusiastic, right? Hey, my child coming, and they very, very enthusiastic. So diligently, he and his wife already make zikr a little bit loudly, and Quran Sharif also in a sweet voice. Now the child is born, alhamdulillah, everything went well. Now if the child is crying, and you do anything else to pacify him, he's not getting pacified. But if you read the Quran in the same tone, and the zikr in the same tone, immediately he's relaxed. So Mullah is asking him, where do you learn this thing here? So now, a long time ago I read one article, that if the father is boozing, or is smoking, or is listening to some music, the child is born, 90% of the time he'll do the same thing. He'll booze also, he'll smoke, or he will want that type of music. But now the same thing, the science did all the homework, right? We are like China, you know, China would steal all the technology from Japan or from Germany or something, and they do the same thing. They can't stop you, can they stop you? So let Shaitan do all the homework, and we'll use it for the right reasons. Shaitan, let them do all the homework, all the maghaz mari. So we get the thing. But he said, well, it's working like a magic. I just start the zikr, and China is quiet. He's crying, he's kicking up a tantrum. Just big zikr, Quran Sharif. See, we got all these things in our house. Within the home, everything is there. But then, we feel that we have to go borrow from Jack and Tom and everybody else. But the solutions are within the home. Nabi Sam taught these things to us. Why must we go and borrow from this one and that one and the other one? So anyway, we are talking about Father Mohammad Thami Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So now, father was a very, very wealthy person, extremely wealthy. Now, because he's doing big business, so he has to take a collateral. Right? He's doing 5 million, 10 million at a time. So he's taking a collateral. Sometimes it's a property, sometimes it's a flat, whatever. So he's taken this as a collateral, as a security for the business that he's doing. Now, in the meanwhile, when he's taken that as a collateral, so this person will take about a year or 2 years to service the debt, to pay off the debt. So within this period here, I will take all the rentals, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is. So now the father didn't know, he's not an alim, he doesn't know. Mullah is studying the kitabs. Once Mullah started the kitabs, Mullah told his father, see, this is not right. Because there is a law in the hadith, كُلُّ قَرْدٍ جَرَّ نَفْعًا رِبًا, right? It's a loan that is healing, that's taking some interest, right? because the law requires that you get what you have given. That's what it requires. But if you're taking something additional above the loan, against time, whatever you say, but anything above the loan, there's a play of words. What? There's a play of words. The play of word is that, see, money against time is interest. Money against time is interest. Money against commodities, alright, you confirm the price and you confirm the commodity, no problem. But money against time, I pay you within 1 year, then it's 1,000 rand. But if I stretch the time to 2 months more, if every month you pay 100 rands more. So that 100 rand is interest. What they did now, they said, no, that is interest. What we're doing is money against time, not as an interest, as a penalty, because you're procrastinating, so we'll take a penalty from you. I ask you, is there any difference? If you call it a penalty or call it interest, is there a difference? And then now, just to justify this, how else we can get him to pay up the money on time? The bank says the same thing. How else can we get you to pay the money on time? Banks say the same thing. They are calling it interest and you are calling it penalty. The third thing they will do, they say, we're taking money against time and we're not going to use it for our personal self. We'll give it to some ikra, charitable cause. So you must use a Quranic word. To justify it, get a Quranic word and get it justified. So now, the common person now, you don't blame him entirely, although he's also worthy of blame. But he didn't use his mind. Right? So he says, but this is an Islamic thing. And so I ask you, but just change of words, does it make any haram halal? If I write the pork and I write halal, so does it make it halal? So Mawlana, he wrote up a letter and he said, no, this is not right. Shariat forbids this. So the father got the letter, father was a little bit upset, say, I sent this child here now, I light it, like I will say, I sent my child here to go and learn. Now, today he's coming and preaching to me. So the father went to his Hindu friend, said, this is the problem I got to my child. I sent him to go and study there. Now today he's coming to make bayan to me now. So that Hindu friend is advising the father. He says, no, you thank your God. You say Allah Ta'ala, but you thank Allah Ta'ala. Why? Had you sent him to become a doctor, then he would have advised you on medicine, right? How to take your precautions for good health, maintaining good health. He would have advised you accordingly. If you sent him to become an attorney or a lawyer, then he would have advised you how to save yourself from legal complications and implications. Had you sent him to become an accountant, he would have advised you on how to save tax, etc. Today, you are sending him to become Mawlana, but he's showing you how to avoid yourself from the problems of the akhirat. You believe in a life after death. So he's advising you how to save yourself from the complications that are related to the life after death. So thank him for what he's doing. Mawlana's father is very, very impressed with this answer. But if Allah wants, he can use a non-Muslim also. Mawlana's father returned all that money, a couple of good millions. He gave everything back. Say, I touched the wrong buttons today. I pressed the wrong buttons. All the money I gave back. You see, now this is Islam. See, we you saw a wrong, right? And you know the person, or the approach is right. You correct the person. Which have a nice, respectable, with consideration and respect, without running the person down, without despising him, without humiliating him and disgracing him, but in a nice, respectable way. You point out, by this is not the right way, do it like this. Alhamdulillah, he corrected himself and his business didn't get affected. The provider is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We aren't the providers. Allah provides. We just have, our duty is to do it right. We think sometimes it's our hard work, sometimes we think it's our acumen, sometimes we think it's our learning. One accountant was here, last week. So he's telling me, was my school friend. This accountant must be about 40 years of age. So his school friend, same class. He was the lowest in the class. Absolutely low. Can't even write nicely, can't even study, no maths, no English, absolutely goner. Right. So he came to see me after 25, 30 years. He came to see me. So he said, how you know that old days? He says, Alhamdulillah, I'm in a position today with so much I don't know what to do with the wealth. Number one. Number two is, I'm looking after my brothers. One is an accountant, one is a doctor, I'm looking after them. Allah gave so much. No learning. See? He doesn't have the formal education, no training. But you see this rosy, it's clearly in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. He will give how he wants. But you, what we need to do is be truthful. Be honest. So there's these three things. Be truthful, be honest, and be considerate. Whoever it is, your worker, even in the home, sometimes mama is stretching them, or whoever else. I have a plan that the mamas, I will not tell them to do any work. Now, not a single work, I want to tell them, correct this, no. Let the woman do the woman's job, and the men do the men's job. But we don't have any interaction with them. So as long as they're working in the house, they feel secure. They don't feel like, hey, now I'm going to be intimidated by a man or something. Do this, why didn't you do this? So she feels relaxed. If she needs to be told, the woman will tell them. And normally a woman to a woman, they take it lightly, they take it easy. But our duty right through, across the board, is to be considerate. Understand the person to be a human being, respect him, be considerate. Consider it a little bit more. Suppose you take so much of work, a little bit less work than you was expected. And you're supposed to give the person something, give him slightly more than you're supposed to be giving. Now see the barakah that will come. Apart from the barakah, the happiness, immediate happiness that you will get, Allah will grant you that satisfaction, that fulfillment. Alhamdulillah. Allah gave me the opportunity or show you some kindness here, some consideration here, some respect here. Won't Allah be happy? That after all, it's his bondsman. When it's his bondsman, and you show some level of kindness, consideration, respect, how much does it not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? See? So one is this aspect of dealings. Get that right. And I showed the three elementary things in our dealings, right? Now, the second thing that our Buzurgan Adin say, get these two things right. One is dealings. Number two is get your namaz right. Then the passages will open up. Slowly, inshallah, things will open up. But, at the beginning, get these two things right properly. Get it right. No matter, even if it's 1 cent or a million rands, but now you need to get it right. And understand that there's such a great promise. You're going to be ranked up with the Anbiya, Siddiqeen, Shuhada, Martyrs, Awliya, and Anbiya. So that's a very high thing. I mean, it's a very high promise, very great promise. But then, how do I become eligible to this? So don't compromise, don't sacrifice this. Doing business, do it, and become eligible for this. So the second thing they talk about is, get your namaz right. Allah grant us tawfiq.